Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program brought to you by Watching for Jesus Network. My own network. I should say our own network. And the hour, the ones that help me with it, know who they are. Thank you very much. I have a Facebook, Watching for Jesus. I guess the name of the network and the Facebook has something to do with the theme of the program. You think? I first started off with New World Order Fighters about 5 years ago. New World Order Fighters. Rambo kind of stuff going on. This is the Bilderberg. This is the Club of Rome. This is the Illuminati and so forth and so on and on and on and on. And that was what it was for, I don't know, a couple years, a year and a half, 2 years. All about the New World Order, North American Union and all this stuff. FEMA and FEMA camps and little polka dots on your mailboxes. Tyranny, etc., etc., etc. I'd say a prayer before, always. For the first broadcast I ever did was start off with a prayer. Dedication to my broadcast. Then that went kind of down a little bit, and I got out of LBN. Matter of fact, LBN's not there anymore. Ichabod is the word. Those that know what I'm talking about. Ichabod. It always happens. In any case, I went to another one within 5 days. I got blessed, I guess. Another network. And it was called the Watchman Chronicles. A mixture of a Watchman. Someone asked me, the manager there asked me, what do you want to call yourself? You don't call New World Order Fighters anymore. I said, no. What do you want to call yourself? I don't know. Let me give you a call back and I'll think about it. That's what it was. I said, well, Watchman Chronicles, let's call it that. It was that kind of decision, off the cuff. Didn't really sit back and analyze it and all that. Just off the top of my head, I just decided Watchman Chronicles. Unfortunately, I didn't secure it. I didn't even lie. I just gave them a name. They just call it that, and that's it. I didn't have an endeavor of commercializing and all that stuff, freeze-dried. There's nothing wrong with all that commercializing. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, sometimes you have to, you know, if you work for a network, they charge you an arm and a leg and your firstborn child to get on the air. But You know, and it has to be. You got to pay the light bill and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't know all that when I first started. I didn't really care. All I wanted to do was talk on the darn radio and get the truth out. That's all I cared about. 5 o'clock to 8 in the morning. Oh, mercy. But anyway, 5 to 8, and it went pretty well, actually, in TalkStream Live. We're not five of the entire group, but I had help with satellite from the network, and whatever. Anyway, that kind of went a little bit. I ain't going into detail on that, but anyway, I moved on. And as a result of getting sponsors on, you know, I had to have a sponsor, I found out. The sponsor, well, they had other ideas, but as a result of that, God made sure I had my own network. And go figure, I didn't know how to use a darn thing, but I ended up getting equipment and all kinds of stuff, and which, you know, I had to learn how to use. I thought, doggone, is this thing going to fly away if I, you know, I need to learn how to use all these buttons and levers and gadgets and wires and all this stuff? Because I want my past is anti-terrorism, force protection, personal protection, government contracting, et cetera, et cetera. So I did learn how to use three quarters of the stuff here. So I called it Watchman for Jesus, so it gets more refined. So then, along this trail of 5 years, I discovered you cannot talk about one without talking about the other, or your broadcast is missing sorely. You've got a car missing four wheels. You have to include the spiritual side of this tyrannical government and all that. You have to include it, or your broadcast is not worth 2 cents. Because it is a supernatural war that we're in. It's a fact. If you don't believe me, ask the members of the Bilderberg. Yes, ask the members of Council of Foreign Relations. Because they worship Lucifer. And that's an absolute, irrefutable fact. Because that's Bohemian Grove. And they attend that. And let me tell you, they don't roast marshmallows up there. And they don't have funnel cakes either. They might play around in the bushes a little bit, if you know what I mean. For that royal secret that they know has to be done to open up their portal for a demonic entity. They wear black robes. They play satanic worship. They worship this big old owl. So if you all don't believe in Satan, Lucifer, that's your deal. But the ones that control this world right now, they do. And they murder children. They murder children for sacrifice often. That's another fact. Clinton, Buchanan, they're high priest in Luciferian order. It goes as high as your presidents, CEOs of major corporations, royal blue bloodline of Queen Elizabeth, Carolingian bloodline, goes all the way back to Charlemagne till today, and further back than Charlemagne, all the way back to pharaohs of Egypt. All your presidents are in the same bloodline of this black blue bloodline. Every leader is either a Freemason, Knights of Malta. Mandela was a Knights of Malta, for goodness sakes. That makes him a liar. Knights of Malta, take a blood oath. Mandela couldn't hold a candle to Martin Luther King. Not even remotely. Or JFK. Or Bobby Kennedy. Bill Cooper. I could name many others. Malcolm X, I didn't agree with his politics, but he was sincere in his belief. He was sincere in helping his people, his role. He was not part of the New World Order. He was not part of the Prince Hall affiliated, or wasn't working with the Boulay Society, like Jesse Jackson was. Even Martin Luther King pulled himself away from the Jesse Jackson crowd and civil rights movement. He pulled himself away from it. He let them do it. I got a quote from him, you understand? A verbal quote. You can hear him say where he separates himself from the civil rights movement, a worker, excuse me, and their agenda, their inside agenda. Well, today, I highly recommend, highly recommend, and I'll have this today's broadcast quickly put on my website as soon as I'm done. And I highly recommend you download the MP3 for prosperity, because I'm going to play something today that's never been played before. I don't want to tell you what it is yet till I start playing it. It's about 45 minutes of a documentary that you're going to want to hear. And you most certainly are going to download it and keep it. This one especially. So I'll have it up as soon as I'm done with this broadcast at 6. I'll have it up by 6:15. So you download the MP3 quickly. Lord, put on my heart to bring it out today. So I'm going to do that. I think it's about time. Some of you might not identify with it. You'll say, what is this? Others, you're going to say, oh my gosh. And there's others going to say, uh-oh. So I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And I have today, I don't have a script as I normally don't have, but I do have an organization for it today, pretty much, because I want to make some points today that I hope will be slam dunk. That's my goal today. I'm dedicate the broadcast now, and let's get started. Lord, we thank you today for bringing us together in this broadcast. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we lift up to you the sins that we have committed, Lord, through the conviction. Lord, if we don't have that conviction, Lord, to visit our souls, our hearts, set up divine appointments that we can learn the truth about what we do and what we are and who we are and, Father, where we're going. Many people are deceived from the churches, from the schools, from the politics, from the arts, the finance, the other areas, philosophy, all these things that they put into us to keep us distracted from the truth about Jesus Christ and about eternal salvation and the millennial reign that's coming after this 7-year tribulation begins and ends. Lord, many people aren't even aware of what's going on. Lord, we need preachers out there. We need, Father, we need God-ordained prophets to come out. We need the elect to start speaking, the watchmen to step up. Lord, and throughout this world, we need them to come out of their seclusion. And those that are speaking today, Father, to give them the words to speak, give them the opportunities, and give them the protection. Because, Father, people are lost because of a lack of knowledge. People are lost because of corrupted Bibles and corrupted theology and corrupted churches and synagogues and cathedrals. Lord, to lift up your holy word that's contained within the King James Bible, to give it protection, Lord, of a supernatural nature, to touch the hearts of those that are witness to the King James Bible. Father, because I know the time is short from the signs of the times we see coming. Father, we pray for veterans, that, Father, you'll lift them up, that you'll set up divine appointments for them, to for those you've called. Father, you know the heart, to give them the opportunity and the person to witness to them, Lord, that they'll break down and take in the love of Jesus and commit those sins to you and forgive themselves, forgive others, that, Father, they can be saved. Father, we pray most of all, at the same time, Father, we pray for the children that's being sought after for these sacrifices of the wicked at the highest level, of the Satanists at the highest level. Father, to strip down the protection of those Satanists, those Wicca, and those fallen angels, to strip down their protection and their power. And Father, that those that's left, that Father, you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts and serve as a guide to you, Father, if they're called, to convert whole covens, to cause them to break up, break down, and accept Jesus. And Father, to take their sacrifices away from them. Father, we ask you to protect us in these times of this festival coming up, Lugasa, to shut it down, Lord. Father, to pray. We pray against that holiday. We pray against that satanic day of Lujasa. And Father, we pray for time. We pray for opportunity that we can witness to Jesus, witness to others about Jesus. Father, we pray for an awakening of this country to bring the leaders out that's going to lead. True leaders, Father, that are going to lead in the gospel and lead others to Jesus. And to bring people together and not apart. Under the banner of Jesus. That not of a religion, not of a country, not of a family, but together all a family in one under the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why we pray, Lord, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to lay the groundwork and for what I'm going to talk about. So from start time to end time, and if I have to, I'll go into tomorrow too. Tonight, Bible study, 7:30 to 9 on my website. And I'll just cut in on the 24-hour loop and begin the Bible study. And let you all know we're played up in highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, randomly plays our broadcast on his network. And his website is highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net. And he's up there in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. Where to begin? Where to begin? That's always the hardest, sometimes that first step. It's where to begin. So, let's just go with the flow here. Psalms 2, 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their band asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You see, God's always in control. He's always in control. And not a thing escapes him. He knows the end from the beginning. He's everywhere. I can't imagine how that works, what dimensions that he has. We can't possibly know. We can't possibly know. And yet we think we do. We try to fit him into a box that we can understand. You might as well try to put the ocean into a pint cup to make it fit. Literally. We're human. It's like trying to get earthworm and take it out to lunch and try to have a conversation. Literally. Although the one difference between us and the earthworm, or even a monkey, is we're created in the image of God spiritually. You can't tell me, there's no way you can tell me that a monkey, him dryest baby baboon, and a dog and a cat, a bird, aren't what's called soulish animals. S-O-U-L-I-S-H. A soulish, have a soul. I watched a video the other night, on YouTube, and it shows this woman from Slovenia coming home, and her little terrier something another dog with whiskers or whatever you call them. I don't know what to call them. Anyway, hadn't seen her for 2 years, and this dog runs up at her and just is all kinds of whining and jumping around and kissing and this, that, and the other, and got so excited that the dog fainted. The dog started kicking and fell over like it's dying, having a heart attack. It got so excited. Or you see a dog dragging another dog off the road after he's hit, and the dog survived. Both of them did. Or the dog that led this police officer to a burning house after about two or three turns, it caught the car as it come in and then looked over his shoulder and like, hey, come follow me, you know. And the police officer got in tune with the dog, more or less, and said, well, I'm going to follow the dog. He followed the German Shepherd down the road, then took a left, took another left. I mean, we're not talking accidentally here. And the dog would look over his shoulder and say, well, you coming or what, you know. Led him right straight to the burning house. Dogs have a soul. They're not created in the image of God, the Spirit. That's in God's plan. I don't know about that. The Spirit, whether you see your dog in heaven, I have no idea. I'm not going to speculate. I don't know. I know there's animals in the millennium reign. It's going to be there. It says the lion will lie with the lamb. That means they're not meat eaters. You won't be killing the lamb to eat it anymore. You ever thought about that? In the millennium reign, there's not going to be technology. Matter of fact, when the tribulation start, all technology will be destroyed. So you wonder why they're building all these military equipment weapons when, and you got extraterrestrial lie that's coming up. It's a big lie. Hollywood will be proud of the big show they're going to put on here in the future. The takedown of America. We're the last bastion. We're the last ones. As planned by the American government, as puppets of the monarchy, of which we still are today. We have never won a war in our history. Oh, the evidence is clear. It made it look like we defeated the Nazis, defeated the fascists, and defeated the Japanese and all that. It made it look like it. We didn't win in the Revolutionary War. We're still made a colony. We're still a colony today. We're paying back the debt after 370-year bank cycles, 1789, 1859, and 1929, and supposed to end 1999 at the third one. Collateral, each one. I'm not going over that today. They failed to achieve their New World Order in the year 2000. Family, the history books are absolutely worthless, and this can be proven. It's too bad those history professors at Yale and Harvard don't know this, because they're lying to their students. Because there are, in fact, and can be proved, as I did yesterday, that they're all humanist. Secular humanism is what their background. That means that their credibility is gone. Their books are, that they write are worthless. Rhetoric, nonsense, half-truth, mostly lies, distortions, distractions. I don't know if people have collected the impact of what I've just said. And this could all be proven. This is the interesting part. This is not speculation I'm giving you. This is from their own quotes from other humanists that confirm what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what my research says. Charles Francis Potter, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Roger Kimball, Bertrand Russell. I mean, the list, that's only a handful. I mean, there's hundreds. Alice Bailey, Helen Blavatsky, David Spangler, J.P. Morgan. Oh, yeah, you've heard them all. And they're all connected. Oh, that's the funny part. Albert Pike, Clinton Roosevelt, 1840s, Manzini, Adam Weishaupt. Oh, heck, Elmer Fudd and Mickey Mouse. I mean, you know, Disney. I mean, it's all connected and can be proven. You don't like it? Sorry. The proof is there. Y'all better wake up. Only is going to solve this is the supernatural. It's not the Jews. It's not the Muslims. At one, you got eye-level people over here, four-star generals and all this, going to impeach Obama. You got some of these Freemason preachers out here saying they're going to take down Obama. They're going to impeach him. They impeach somebody, and good gosh almighty, that's the most. These people have no clue or they're part of the agenda. It's to keep you all distracted. Now, I'm not going down these rabbit holes today about impeachment and how ridiculous that is. It's a waste of time. It's about, for example, people getting together to stop the Euthanasia Act, or legislation they're going to pass in Oregon, only because under the age of 18, when they pass it, and finally, since 1994, if they finally pass this and approved that children under the age of 18 can euthanize themselves, and then they get signed through Hillary Clinton and whoever else is in part of this, the International Rights of the Child, that means your child, at any time, they're going to start with disabilities. Say that's, well, if they're disabled, then they really should kill themselves, and that way they won't suffer. Oh, goodness. And there's parents going to go along with it. Some will. Some will say, you got to be crazy. Well, it doesn't matter if you say you're going to be crazy or not, because they will be able to kill themselves because they're miserable, and you can't do a thing about it. And if you try, you will be put in prison. That's a fact. Now, I would think that the entire country will be focusing on Oregon instead of some malicious, stupid flight and stop that legislation. As a matter of fact, there's an organization I read about 2 days ago that finally, I've been calling about this for 3 years. I've been hammering this and hammering it and hammering it. Finally, that's not because of me, I'm sure, but somebody got the hint somewhere along the way, and they got an organization that's going after this International Rights of the Child to stop it, and also the Child Euthanasia Act. They've connected the dots. Thank God. And the thing is you take a couple spokes out of the car, take a couple tires off, they can't float it. So you got more time. But that's what they're counting on, is they get all their ducks in a row and then hammer it. But when you start nitpicking at them like this, and I mean that in a good way, and they fail at getting certain acts passed and certain people come on board and so forth, their plan goes to pot. No pun intended. That's the other part, is legalizing drugs. Then y'all get together, you see. Black, white, Mexican. Man, y'all in the same boat. But they got you divided. They remind the blacks of the slave days. You know, rightly so. You white folk, you got a lot of repenting to do from your ancestors that enslaved the blacks. A lot of repenting. And they, blacks, got a lot of forgiving to do. But they're making sure you don't, because they keep reminding you of it, don't they? The Mexicans have their Aslan. Remind you of that, see? They want to remind them. Keep everybody reminded so you don't get together. Yeah, see, it works. They'll have the felon cops that's infiltrated into the police departments to beat somebody up or shoot them or something. The good cops have to put up with it because they have this silly blue code thing. And then others are Freemasons that, you know, are under that blood oath. You see, well, that's the reality. They know it's not right, but can't say a word because they're under the blood oath of Freemasonry. You cops out there under Freemasons, it's kind of frustrating, isn't it? In the meantime, they're bringing MS-13 over in the tens of thousands. They're organizing the Crips, the Bloods, Christian Identity, the KKK, and Aryan Nation. They're getting all organized, man. Well, y'all sleeping. They're infiltrated the cops with felons that's trained over 185,000, infiltrated into the police departments nationwide. Y'all sleeping, too. Don't forget about Nebaru. Don't forget about FEMA camps. Plastic coffins in Georgia. Little polka dots on your mailbox. Oh, and don't forget a meteorite coming flying through the air and going to hit you. Oh, 911, inside job. Oh, got to bring that up every now and then. Keep you all busy. That's how it works. Okay. I got this mixing board that's whining like a lost puppy. I can't figure out why. Anyway, I know it's feedback and all that kind of thing, but whatever. Okay, now, let me get started here. Listen. Of course, if you weren't on listening, you wouldn't be listening anyway, would you? Here we go. The Illuminati are made up of Italian, German insiders, Breakspear, Aldo Brandini, Orsini, which controls the Papi. Pepe Orsini is a great pope, controls your Vatican, and instead today, I mean, they have one every century or whatever. Orsinis are Italian, German inside. Then the outside, you have the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and the DuPonts and all that. The ones they want you to know about. They want you to know about the Illuminati. They want you to know. You understand this? And then they've got inside the Italian they don't want you to know about or not too much about that controls everything. But understand, they are slaves of the fallen angels. That's a fact. They have them in their meetings. They channel if they don't have enough life force energy to actually run the meetings. They channel. I can't go into all that right now. I mean, my regular listeners, you know what I'm talking about. New listeners, well, hang in there. And so they have think tanks of human beings that have to fulfill their objectives. And the think tanks, and now here we go. And I'm starting off, some of y'all, my regular listeners, you've heard some of this before, but you're going to hear some new stuff today. So I'm going to lay the groundwork for anybody who might be new. So you have what's called the round table. Carol Quigley talks about the round tables in this Tragedy and Hope. He tells you about it. It's all laid out for you. Consists of the Council of Foreign Relations. Now remember everything I'm telling you because you're going to hear it again. The Council of Foreign Relations, the Illuminati, and the Council of Foreign Relations has all of the rays, all of the steps that the Illuminati control. Education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, finance. All that's contained within the Council of Foreign Relations. Think tank. The Trilateral Commission, which is 1973 formed up. United Nations, need I tell you about that one? International Rights of the Child and every other thing. They start wars, make sure they fight. They're not there for peace. That's a new world order. The Bilderberg Group, oh, that's a criminal bunch. But you've heard about them before. When they arrest the Bilderberg Group and all that, nobody's there to arrest them. Anybody that says that on the air is full of baloney. Because they all work together. There's no arresting Bilderberg Group. They might play act it a little bit, but that's all they're going to do is to placate the American public. There's no arresting going on. It's trash. The Bilderberg Group. Evil bunch, 1950s, they formed it. To carry on the plans from Albert Pike, 1870s to 1945, they formed the Bilderberg around 1950s. Continue on. You see what happened? The Club of Rome, they're the murderers that are depopulation. I'm not really good at political agendas. I'm not really good at politically correct. Not good at that at all. The murderers, called the Club of Rome, are there to make sure the depopulation plan is carried out. How to murder an entire world. That's what it boils down to. Fulfillment of NSSM 200, depopulation plan. Depopulation, not pro-population. Depopulation, that means murder. Killing masses of people by producing famine. You see, famine that's going on today is not in the Bible. Science of it? Yes. But this is produced by man and by Satan. This is not God's tribulations. This is Satan's wrath. But it's allowed by God because we pull away from God. You understand this? So he's allowing this to happen. This famine is produced by the globalists. Droughts are produced by the globalists by weather manipulation. And all this is coming out now. What we've been saying for 5 years, I've been saying for 5 years, others more, some less, is now coming to fruition. It being made public. Call it exoneration? Anyway. Weather control, drought, is causing the famine. They can do that. Too much rain causes a famine. It destroys the crops. Family, it's all scientific. Science. Oh, isn't that one of the rays I talked about? Well, sure is. So you got the Council of Foreign Relations, United Nations, Bilderberg Group, Club of Rome, to carry out the NSSM 200, and fulfill it, continue it, is Global 2000 by Jimmy Peanut Farmer Carter and others that promote the Global 2000 to Agenda 21. It's all connected. The Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Illuminati in Europe, sister to the Council of Foreign Relations. And under the Royal Institute of National Affairs, I must mention the behavioral thinking called Tavistock. How important is Tavistock? They changed our culture completely from 1960 on up till today. Their plan for our culture began in 1920s. Put into effect 1945, and they completely started the takedown and destroy of America at Tavistock, and it's still there, operating worldwide. They control almost every college and university in America. They control every college and university in America. I said that twice for a reason. You understand this? They coordinate with the bringing of drugs into the United States, with the changing of the music, changing of the clothes, changing of theology, changing of the school system even more humanistic, for the takedown of America and the world. You take down America, the world falls in blind. That's why it's all taken down. So they got to vilify America now. And they're doing it. Our own people are doing that. Your Knights of Malta pretend to be patriots. They're liars. They're insiders. They work for the monarchy. They work for the Vatican by their own admission of a blood oath. And their pictures, they're members of the Malta, Knights of Malta family. When are y'all going to wake up? When are these like General Boykin and Rick Joyner gets up to talk and you boo them out if you're veterans? Because they are against you. They are Knights of Malta. Paul Rykoff up in this, like he's pretending to work with the veterans for suicide. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. When are people going to wake up? When are you going to demand to be replaced with a veteran that's not a member or a Freemason or not a member of the Knights of Malta or a member of the Council of Foreign Relations? When are people going to wake up? They're there to slow you down and make sure that there's no remedy for the suicides of veterans. At 22 to 26 per doggone day, when are you people going to wake up? And the Joint Chief of Staff are a bunch of cowards because they're members of the Council of Foreign Relations. You might as well say that if we're going to a World War III, that there's going to be several generals, some congressmen that's getting on a plane to go over, discuss the war plans that America has with Russia. We'd be back. Oh, okay, no problem. Go ahead. Same thing. Clinton, Chinagate, FDR was planning a military dictatorship. I got the quotes, dates, and times, and names. Nixon was planning a dictatorship, 1972-74. He's impeached. But the play was to bring his cousin Gerald Ford in and pardon him. Family, they're playing y'all for fools. The secret societies is the enemy, not the Muslims, not the Jews. The secret societies, it says by JFK. I've played his quote many times. He tells you, and it's like nothing. Bill Cooper told you, like nothing. Nesta Webster. Russo. William T. Still. The names, like, I got 15 or 20 names on my website of ones I know are telling the truth. Nothing. Nothing. Jesus Christ. Something. Okay. So now you know the names in my ranting and raving. Jesuit Oath, U.S. Library of Congress, catalog card. You have Jesuits like little cockroaches in every area. Education, philosophy, religion, military operations, the sciences. You got Jesuits everywhere. Jim Jones was a Jesuit. Castro was a 7-year Jesuit. Jesuits go back to the 16th century, formed by or funded by the Borgia Illuminati. Before them was Alumbrados out of Spain. It's always been. You've been taught, they say, I quote, part of the quote, part of their oath, like the Knights of Malta, very similar, the same, Knights of Columbus. They all work together. Quote, You have been taught to insidiously plant the seeds of jealousy and hatred between communities, provinces, and states that were at peace, and incite them to deeds of blood, involving them in war with each other, and to create revolutions and civil wars in countries that were independent and prosperous, cultivating the arts and the sciences and enjoying the blessings of peace, to take sides with the combatants and to act secretly in concert with your brother Jesuit, who might be engaged on the other side, but openly opposed to that which you might be connected, only that the church might be the gainer in the end, in the conditions fixed in the treaties for peace, that the end justifies the means. The Pope of Rome, as the head of the papal government, claims absolute sovereignty and supremacy over all the governments of the earth. Unquote. You heard the part, unquote, end quote, end quote. Who's on first? You all got that now? All right. Well, then take this in for banking and collect interest on it. Because Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, part of why now you know why he got murdered. Abraham Lincoln said, quote, "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to Popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of her noblest sons. Though there were great differences of opinion between the South and the North on the question of slavery, neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on a promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money and arms of the Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at their disposal if they would attack us." Unquote. Charles Chickney, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, 1885, on page 388. I'm not done. Now you can have another appreciation, a connection here, about the Korean War. Now you see the impact when it says that in Chicago Tribune, 1950, article got out, quote, "The members of the council, foreign relations, the members of the council should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, that's World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, that's Korean War," unquote. Chiang Kai-shek was of the free Chinese exiled into Formosa, Taiwan. He had an army. Oh, they were ticked off. They wanted their land back in China from the communists that we put there. Korean War, 1950. Credible source, General Douglas MacArthur, in his diary, he said, and I quote, "The possibility of Red China's entry in the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize Formosa, which in effect protected Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek's forces of 500,000 men," unquote. Korea would be free today. China would be free today had it not been for the Illuminati and the Jesuits. As a matter of fact, even after that blockade, if I Chiang Kai-shek, I'd been really ticked off. But even after that blockade, Chiang Kai-shek didn't give up. He offered the use of his troops to fight in South Korea. Not too long after that. Quote, "The Taiwanese government of Chiang Kai-shek, who less than a week after the North Koreans had crossed the 38th parallel, offered the State Department an advance force of 33,000 troops that could be embarked for Korea within 5 days after the offer was accepted. Suggestion was politely refused. Formosa was at that time a member of the United Nations and therefore could have been represented in the United Nations force, but the American government would not tolerate such a move," unquote. General MacArthur. Even the North Korean confirms General Lin Pao. He was a general in the Red Chinese Army. He said, and I quote, I would never, does this sound familiar? I would never have made the attack and risk my men. Sound familiar? That's what Abraham Lincoln inferred. He says, I would never have made the attack and risk my men if I had not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my lines of supply and communication, unquote. General Lin Pao, P-I-A-O. I'm not even going to tell you about Korea, about Vietnam. Oh, I got dates, times, names, places. Family, what I'm trying to tell you is I got the evidence, and I'm putting it together. Well, whoopee-doo. Now, you put it together for yourself, but this is what's going on. Doggone it. You know, now, I'm coming close to what I'm getting ready to talk about. I haven't even gotten started yet, man. I can see we may go into part two tomorrow. When I'm done today, there's going to be some really highly ticked off people. I'm getting tired of this, man. I'm getting fed up with it. It's time to push the envelope. You know, and the envelope hadn't been really pushed yet. I'm going to push it today. Here very shortly. All right. Now, do you know that there was a pastor of a certain church in Belafonte, Ohio? He came forward as an eyewitness of a 2006 meeting he attended, hosted by FEMA, other government and civil organizations. The government presentation documents, which there's people who have copies. I don't have copies. I wish it did. Was intended to recruit and receive oaths from pastors across the country that they will preach sermons that will coerce parishioners to obey all government orders without delay, to actively coerce them to give up guns, property, if resistant during national emergencies, such as a flu epidemic. The announced purposes of the meeting at that time, an exchange for prioritized receipt of scarce food and vaccines for their families. The vaccines kill. You understand this? The vaccines kill. The vaccines have formaldehyde. They have microchips in them. Look it up. Trimisoral. Family, the vaccines are for depopulation. Family, the vaccines are for depopulation. That's a fact. Continuing, he warned that this program appears to be spread to every county in the country. And based upon his observation, pastors everywhere are taking the oath to impose state dictates on their flock. Case in point, John MacArthur, another false preacher. False. He says it's okay to take the microchip, the digital tattoo. Right there is your proof by their own words. 2006, 2009, there was a false report by the government that 1,000 people had died from flu to start the panic. It's a lie. Look it up right now. As I'm talking, look it up. 1,000 died from flu epidemic in America. It never happened. You see, the Obama administration, and no different than the Nixon administration, the Bush, the Clinton, they're all a bunch of Luciferian. Every doggone one of them, all of them, work together and pretend to be a part, just like they're trained by the Jesuits. Ha ha, now you get it? Okay, 2009, they're supposed to have two vaccines. One puts something in you, and the second one starts the cyclone storm, and that would have caused a pandemic. It never happened. When are they going to learn that God's in control? They're never going to learn. In the time of a national emergency, the Posse Comitatus Act overrides the Constitution in a heartbeat. When are y'all going to learn that, man? These people out here spouting off about the Constitution. We got to protect our Constitution. There ain't no Constitution. And I don't have a law degree, and I know this for an absolute total fact. 1938, Tompkins versus Erie Railroad. It's done, family. It's done. There ain't no I'm ticked off. There is no Constitution. It was rendered null and void a long time ago. Doggone it. When are people going to learn? When are they going to wake up and get away from that stupid TV? When are they going to start taking action? And I don't mean revolution. You got Rick Joyner, Jerry Boink, and all these other yahoos out there saying, military takeover. You got the generals. We're going to have a military takeover. You got the pot for the kettle, evil for evil coming up. There's no good one on it. Not one. Not a one. Because they're Knights of Malta. It's just the big guys up there fighting for position. That's all it is. You see, that's all they're doing. Fighting for position. Make it look like they're not. Literally, the tribulations. Jesus Christ is the only solution. There is no other. These four generals up there don't know their butt from the hole in the ground. A lot of them are Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and they brief the Council of Foreign Relations. Well, in 1991, 92, 93, under the Clinton administration, it's a fact that 11 top-ranking officials of the Defense Department were members of the Council of Foreign Relations. It's a fact that 7 of the top-ranking members, Joint Chief of Staff, were members of the Council of Foreign Relations. It's a fact that government CFR members goes back to FDR, Harry Truman, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Richard M. Stupid Nixon, Jimmy the Farmer Carter, George Bush and his old doggone bloodline, and the vast majority of cabinet members. They're all part, and this is since Woodrow Wilson, of a Luciferian robe-wearing, child-sacrificing group of, I ain't going to say it. I can't on the air. You have Sandra Day O'Connor, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, judicial branch. These are members of the Illuminati. Legislative branch. I see a whole list. I got a list of them. I got their names right here. The Republicans and Democrats together. Working in perfect harmony. State Department. U.S. military. Every Allied Supreme Commander. Every Secretary of Defense, including Richard Cheney, since 1957. Banking. There's the money. Business of CFR, oil companies, Exxon, Mobil, Shell, automobile industry, Chrysler, Ford, General Motors, manufacturing, Deere, GE, transportation, American Express, AT&T, Amtrak, IBM, the media, ABC, CNN, CBS, NBC, newspapers, Associated Press, Wall Street Journal, Karen Houses was a part of that back in the 90s, yeah, Newsweek, Washington Post, Reader's Digest, Time, education members, almost every major college. Hey, militia, you've got a lot of work to do. Anyway, that being said, you better know your enemy. You better know who in the dickens you're dealing with. Now, I know I've been talking kind of fast. I got a whole lot to cover right here. And that's why I got it recorded. Or taped, or not taped. You don't tape anymore, do you? So, I kind of throw something in there every now and then. I feel very strongly about this. If you haven't guessed already. 2009 was a planned pandemic in the United States that failed to happen. Oops, they had to get rid of a whole lot of vaccines. They create a panic. They create a national disaster. Then they eliminate the Constitution. You all spouting off, I'm a sovereign citizen, means absolutely nothing but a blank piece of paper. Man, you all better wake up. And when you go out to these tea parties and do that rah, 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 three-cornered hat, patriot stuff, whatever, know that we're still a colony of England and we never won that war. That's a fact. Absolute total fact. It's almost silly. Europeans know this, and we don't know this in America. Man, y'all better wake up and get on the track. All they got to do is create one national disaster, and they almost did that in 2009. And that overrides the Posse Comitatus Act, the military. Oh, there's not enough military in America, and the police are going out. We got 200, we got 10,000 militia, and You got to be kidding me. Surely, God, you're not that. Surely, goodness, you're not that naive. They've got Chinese troops here, thanks to Jimmy Carter and Billy Bob Clinton. They have Russia Spetsnaz throughout the United States and Canada. They've got Belgium. They've got UN troops throughout the United States in military bases, some of those underground, on top of the ground. They're going to use UN troops since 1990s. Man, you all better wake up and mighty quick and know what your enemy is, because y'all been lied to from inside of your militia meetings. They're lying to you. You've got leaders up there, oh, I have a secret connection with a SEAL that's located in D.C. A baloney. I almost said something. Defense Department, you cannot trust them. You got white hats, black hats. They're all black and white. It's all, yeah, black and white. That's your duality. You may have some good people there, sure, but they're being lied to. All they got to do is have one national disaster.
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the church.
Now, there you go, by their own voice, right? By their own words. Nixon divided the United States up into 10 regions, 5 states each, with Executive Order 11647. The following year, 1972-73, Executive Order 11731, to continue 11647, and to take over all government functions, 11495, when he planned a coup, as directed by the Vatican, in 1972-74, working with General Cushman. General Cushman, Commandant. Ah, Joint Chief of Staff. Hello. We there? Illuminati? Knights of Malta? Knights of Columbus? Traitors within our own group that work for the Vatican? Are y'all getting it now? I'm letting it sink in, what I'm trying to get across here. You have what's called the multi-jurisdictional task force at one time. I'm not sure what it's called now. It's in every state in the union. And they're looking at bringing us under as Nixon's plans were passed on to FEMA, look up FEMA transition 2009, is exactly the same plan. More detailed, of course, to put us under UN administration. The velvet glove on the steel fist, the United Nations. Bringing in street gangs using felons as a national police force. President Clinton proposed a national police force. It wasn't just Obama. It was also Obama, but also President Clinton. And originally organized under George Herbert Walker Bush. The multi-jurisdictional task force, a regular National Guard, local law enforcement, and street gangs converted to National Police Services. I wonder sometimes if this sinks in. I'm not a nationally, international known, whatever, broadcaster, but family, what I'm telling you is 100% truth. I'm not in this for me. I don't need to do this at all. I don't need this, all this blood pressure raising stuff. I don't get anything for it. I get zero. I pay for it. I don't have no bonus where you click on and you put money or whatever. I don't sell anything on this website. I don't have a donate button. I got nothing. I don't want nothing. I'm trying to get you the truth, and I do go do about my business. I do this for free. I do this because I want to, you see. That's the way it is. And they're not going to refute. They got to discredit me somehow, but they're going to make it up. You see, I was a Marine for 12 years, and I joined to fight. That's the only reason I ever joined the Marine Corps in 72 to 87. I joined for one reason. That was to fight and kill. I wanted to protect my country against, I didn't really care whoever the enemy was, bring him on. That was my attitude. Well, I learned a lot of things when I got out of the Marine Corps, when I went to overseas contracting. And I said, wait a minute. So I became a whistleblower. And I'm still a tootin'. Actions have been taken on this since the 1990s. Large gangs getting together. Do y'all remember the Warriors movie back in the 80s, 70s, 80s? About street gangs getting together. Remember that movie? The Warriors? They tell you what they're going to do before they do it. There's negotiations in Chicago about getting all the gangs together. Charles Manson has been organizing the Aryans and the KKK and other groups and the Christian Identity. Yeah, from his cell. Like Mandela was organizing murders from his cell. Yeah, buddy. Charles Manson is special. He is linked to Satan. He's channeled. That's where he gets his knowledge. That's where he gets his evil from. And what got him his connection was the Sharon Tate murders. Was that sacrifice. They got him linked up to Satan. Oh, y'all follow me here. You understand how deep this goes? They retrieved from him about 3 or 4 cell phones over the past several years. They released recently one of his generals out of prison to start the organizing. Places in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Crips, Bloods, trained, equipped, uniformed, sent overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan to gain military training, brought back over here. Y'all getting the idea? Picking places in certain gated neighborhoods? That's part of the multi-jurisdictional task force. Now, I am really scooting over this. But the UN training, ongoing for the longest time, drawing troops from Belgium, French, German, Dutch, Asian, Islamic fundamentalists. Listen to me carefully here. This was a reason why, over the past 20, 30 years, they destroyed Detroit, Michigan. They destroyed Detroit and Dearborn to make it a safe haven for Islamic fundamentalists. That was the purpose of destroying Detroit, to make way for the influx of Islam. This is not Obama. This goes back 20, 30 years ago. They're doing the same thing to small towns along the East Coast. Destroy the town, the local businesses, then bring in foreign investors in the foreign trade zones. They employ the Freemasons. They employ people around the foreign trade zone so they'll keep quiet and work in these industrial areas that will immediately have force protection once this goes down. 288 foreign trade zones as collateral in the bank loan from 1999 till today, brokered through Hillary Clinton and Bill Bob Clinton. Chinagate. Family, y'all better wake up. Now, you'll sort of get the idea with the next few clips.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Okay, so, that being said, if everyone could, along this way, if you could go to talkstreamlive.com for me, and then you click on my picture, and then you click on that green bar, and then come back to the website or listen to the green bar, it pops up a media player. If you click that green bar, I want to see how many people's listening. I'm just curious how it works, if you could do that. In any case, all right, that's the CFR. And I explained the background of CFR. Now let's hear what this is going to say.
Thank you very much, Richard. And I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard just gave what could be described as a mini version of my remarks in talking about the issues that confront us. But I look out at this audience filled with not only many friends and colleagues, but people who have served in prior administrations. And so there is never a time when the inbox is not full. Shortly before I started at the State Department, a former Secretary of State called me with this advice: don't try to do too much. And it seemed like a wise admonition if only it were possible. But the international agenda today is unforgiving. Two wars, conflict in the Middle East, ongoing threats of violent extremism and nuclear proliferation, global recession, climate change, hunger and disease, and a widening gap between the rich and the poor.
Okay. That's Hillary. Now, well, Hillary is a starlight today. We created Al-Qaeda.
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan. I mean, let's remember here, The people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is, wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow, because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine, you deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
Mixed with truth and lies in there, partially, but mostly truth about us funding Al-Qaeda, ISIS, all the same. Well, that being said, now I know where the stingers came from when I was in Kosovo about reports that the field agents was telling us. There was reports of stingers coming out from outside the country. Now I know where they came from. So that being said, about Al-Qaeda, here's another interview.
So if you think if we walked away from this, didn't give them money today, it would be worse for us from a security standpoint.
I do. We're building a relationship that just did not exist. I said in our last trip when you were with me that we had a huge trust deficit, in part because the United States had, to be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time, we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
Ooh, that's hot. And then you got this CIA agent that says Al-Qaeda doesn't even exist. He wrote a book about it. Oh, I'm going to play just part of this one.
We're sitting down with Michael Scheuer, the man who had served in the CIA for more than 20 years up until 2004. At one time, he was the chief of the CIA Bin Laden unit. Then he went and exposed how counter-effective Washington's methods were in the fight against terror.
Bin Laden was killed between 2001 and 2007. Confirmed? Vannevar Bhutto. So they're all lying about Bin Laden being killed after 2007. Continuing.
Looked at the U.S. through its enemies' eyes. In fact, it's the title of one of his books called Through Our Enemies' Eyes. I'm very pleased to have the chance to interview you,
Thank
Mr. Scheuer.
I'm glad to be here.
Bin Laden is gone. Who is Washington's number one enemy now?
Washington's enemy is an enemy that doesn't exist. We're fighting an Islamic enemy that Washington believes is out to kill us because we have elections, because we're free, because we have women in the workplace. It's an enemy that doesn't exist. It didn't exist when Bin Laden was alive. It doesn't exist now. America is being attacked because of its foreign policy in the Muslim world, because of its support for Israel, because of its support for the Saudi police state, because of its presence on the Arab Peninsula. And until we accept that, until Americans can say to each other, whether you support aid to Israel or not, our relationship to Israel is causing this war, we are not going to be able to defeat this enemy. And Israel itself, as a country, is not the problem. The real problem is the leaders of the Jewish American community in the United States who influence and corrupt our Congress to support Israel when we have no interest there.
You imply that the Israeli lobby is dragging the United States into the wars, into
absolutely.
The conflict?
They're absolutely dragging us in. Iraq was a war that was proffered or was called for mainly.
Then let me ask you this. Yeah. The situation in the region, in the wake of all these revolutions in the Middle East and North Africa,
yes.
You can pretty much describe it as turmoil. Turmoil is no good for Israel.
Okay, it goes on. Order out of chaos. Turmoil, chaos. Chaos, turmoil. Oh, so they say it don't exist. We funded them. Something doesn't exist. Jesuits work both sides. Now, you get this. Bilderberg. Remember I said the Bilderberg? The Bilderberg Group is part of CFR, Trilateral Commission, Rolling Stone International Affairs, Club of Rome, Bilderberg, United Nations. They're all part of a world table, round table, get together and discuss the future, our future. Bilderberg's is one big one.
And the campaign is over. We need to be sure that president is going to do what is necessary to take care of our country. And one of the
Senator Clinton, how you doing?
Good. How are you
Can
doing?
I ask you a quick question while you sign that?
Sure.
It was reported in June of 2006. You attended a meeting in Ottawa, Canada, the Bilderberg Group. Can you comment on that? What's going on for the Bilderberg meeting, and what do you guys talk about up there?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I was reported you were up there, and people saw you up there. I just want to know what you guys talk about and meet about up there.
Sir, I don't know.
Why are they such top secret meetings?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Your husband went to a Bilderberg meeting, too. I'm just wondering. I'm not being rude or anything.
No,
I just want to know what happens at those meetings.
Well, since I wasn't there, I have no idea.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
How are you?
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
You send me the 9/11 family members who are still advocating for the investigation.
Well, that's interesting. Now, how about this one?
Wait.
1991 meeting.
Wait, whoa. Wait a minute. Wait. Look. This is the deal, folks. All these people that are paranoid about the world come and scream at me everywhere. All right, I'll answer. All right. Okay. Now wait a minute. You said you would go if I answered the question, right? You said you would go if I answered the question. You said you would go if I answered the question.
About the Bilderberg meeting.
You said you would go if I answered the question.
1991.
All right. Here's the answer. I happened to be in Europe then, on my way to Russia. I was invited to go to Bilderberg by Vernon Jordan, a friend of mine, and a genuine hero of the civil rights movement. And to the best of my knowledge, NAFTA was not discussed by anybody in my presence. I was talking to people who happened to be from Europe who did not give a rip about NAFTA. Number one. Number two. Okay. Number two. I tried to get labor and environmental standards in that agreement, but I couldn't because it was all negotiated when I got there. Number three. When I was president, we enforced our trade laws five times as much as the Bush administration did. We gained manufacturing jobs. Wait a minute. We gained manufacturing jobs in 6 of the 8 years I was president. They've lost manufacturing jobs every year. We had 22.
Okay. So he admits he went to the meeting, and then he starts giving for the rest of the speaking about how good they did, which was a lie. Okay. So what do you think about that? So you see, that's how it works. They all work together. By their own words. Now, I'm going to play a video that I don't think has been played before. I may go over a few minutes, possibly. And so, this is what really happened. Let's see if this thing works. Hold on a minute. I was working a little while ago. It's there. Let's see. If I don't play it now, play it tomorrow. Got to load up. What's it called? Loading up. At least the beginning part of it is very important. Okay, stand by, because I got to just got this loading up thing that it does. At one time I had it queued up. I'm not sure what happened to it. Family, you see what's really going on behind the scenes. You start putting connecting dots, then you sort of find out what the truth is. Well, and I'm having a little bit of trouble with this thing here all of a sudden now. Yeah, go figure. Okay, stand by. Because I had this thing queued up a little while ago. I'm going to try this again. The video, if I'm not able, oh, there we go. Is about Bosnia, Croatia. And it actually describes who the participants were. And it was a video that never made it to the United States. It's a video. Well, for some reason, I'm not opening up the file. If I can't get to it today, I'll go back over it, find out what the problem is, and do it tomorrow. I'm not sure what happened there. About a media player. So, the Vatican, and for example, when I was in Kosovo, I knew that the National Liberation Army that was in Macedonia, that were Albanian terrorists from Kosovo, started a insurrection. Oh, here we go. We got it now. All right. You're saved by the bell. All right. Now, I'm going to fast forward here. Wonderful. Richard Ross. Get through the playing part. Here we go. All right. Right here we go. All right. Stand by. Here we go.
My name is Richard Ross. I'm the field producer of this documentary. To George Kinney, the former head of the Yugoslavian desk at the U.S. State Department in Washington under the Bush administration, resigned his position in protest of the fact that the Serb was not paying a high enough price in this war in the Balkans. This ignorance, combined with the arrogance of the U.S. media and the Western media, who refused to put this conflict into historic perspective. Well, this fits very well with Mr. Kinney's feelings that history is of no importance in this war. But this is a criminal disservice to the American public, who has little or no idea of who the Serb are and why they are fighting so hard. In rather simple terms, the Muslim, the Croat, the Vatican, and her Roman Catholic priests slaughtered countless hundreds of thousands of Serbs in the Second World War. This time, in this generation, when the Muslims and the Catholic Croats came back to slaughter and oppress the Serb was armed. The Serb had weapons and could and would defend themselves. Now that the Serb is armed and fighting back, the papal apologists, the Nazi Croats, and the Islamic fundamentalists are crying to the world for help as if they are the innocent victims of Serb aggression. The Western media has picked up this cry coming from the Croatian propaganda machine in the capital of Zagreb, and they are broadcasting it around the world. Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister of Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler, would be proud. After all, it was Hitler and Goebbels who worked so hard to justify the German slaughter of the Jews who were supposedly oppressing the innocent, peace-loving Germans. Dr. Biljana Plavcic is a vice president of the Bosnian Serb Parliament. Many, if not most, of her family was wiped out and slaughtered during the Second World War.
I tried many times in different situations to explain how Serbs people suffered and how many victims we had, 1,200,000 victims during the Second War between Serbs people. Those people were innocent people. And they were only guilty because they are Orthodox and they are Serbs. The scenery is completely the same as in Second War. But only change is, and only difference is, that our people were able to protect themselves. Those people who were not, who are able to trust, they are victim in this war. But those people who had always in their mind tragic event from the Second War, they were able to protect themselves. At least to be in the front of their house to protect children and to fight. Many times we are able to hear that Serbs are aggressor in this war. Definitely that is not true. I was a member of the presidency of Bosnia and Herzegovina. I was together with Muslim representatives in presidency and together with Croat representatives in presidency. The suggestion for mobilization came from both sides, from Muslim and Croat coalition. Representatives of Serbs, Professor Koljevic and me, we were strongly against that. We refused, we warned them that mobilization means that war is just in the front of our country.
On April 10, 1941, the German forces were welcomed with open arms into the Croatian capital of Zagreb. The independent state of Croatia had been established with the blessing of Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and Pope Pius XII. The Croatians treated the Nazis as liberators, showering them with praise and adulation. Radio Berlin on April 11, 1941, broadcast to the German people and the world, quote, "The people in Zagreb in the independent state of Croatia have received us as surely as no other soldiers have ever been greeted in a foreign land. All the streets are teeming with large throngs of people. It all happened in a scene of indescribable enthusiasm. From 100,000 throats rang out the continual cries of Heil Hitler and Sieg Heil," unquote. The Serb refused to cooperate with the Nazis. For this, they would soon pay a horrific price. Arthur Hafner, a German intelligence officer, writes, quote, "The Muslim is sure to side with the Croat," unquote. This is, in fact, what happened. The stage had long been set. Franciscan monks and Roman Catholic priests had long been working in Croatia to sow the seeds of religious and ethnic hatred, seeds that would rise up and grow against the Orthodox Serb. The Ustasha, the Croatian equivalent of the German SS, was about to come of age. On June 6, 1941, Ante Pavlic met with Adolf Hitler in Birch's Garden, Germany. It was then that the Croatian Ustasha received the approval of Adolf Hitler to slaughter the Serbs. Hitler told Pavlic, quote, "If the Croats wish to protect their independence, they must carry out a policy of intolerance of the Serb for the next 50 years, unquote. And almost 50 years to the day, the Serb was once again coming under the thumb of the Croat. With the approval of Hitler and the blessing and cooperation of Pope Pius XII, with the hard work of his priests, the Ustasha, the acknowledged child of the Catholic Church unleashed a demonic nightmare upon the Serb. The slaughter is indescribable and for the most part unknown to the Americans, denied by the Croatians and their Ustasha war criminals who today in this generation have returned as heroes to the reborn state, and that the Pope in Rome, Pope Paul, ignores. He claims to be a man of peace while once again giving papal blessings to the new Ustasha. And what about the Jews? Where is their voice in this present conflict? The Jew has not forgotten the 30,000 of their people who were slaughtered in Croatia and Bosnia-Herzegovina. 20,000 of them alone were slaughtered by the Ustasha in the concentration camp of Jasenovac. Jasenovac. You will not read about it in the history books. Yet it was the third most effective death camp in all of World War II. 700,000 Serb men, women, and children were slaughtered with such speed and such brutality that Hitler's own Gestapo, on inspection of the camp of Jasenovac in reports back to Heinrich Himmler, called the actions sadistic and criminal. And the commandant of the death camp at Jasenovac, a cleric of the Roman Catholic Church, Friar Miroslav Filipovich, of the Order of St. Francis. On July 17, 1941, Pope Pius and the Holy Congregation for the East Church approved the program of mass conversion of Orthodox Serbs to Roman Catholicism. The policy in regard to the Serb was to convert one-third to Catholicism, drive one-third from the land, and slaughter the remaining third. This policy was carried out with deadly efficiency. The greatest genocide of the Second World War in proportion to the population took place against the Serb. And those Croatians, those Catholic priests who were later charged as war criminals by the victorious Allies, history shows that the Vatican smuggled them to South America through what has become known as the Rat Line. The Serb of the last generation who survived the horrors of the genocide of the Second World War can no longer take comfort and rejoice that the Ustasha beast was dead. For the bitch that bore him came into heat again in this generation and gave birth to his brother.
I've been reporting about Jasenovac, for the past 5 years. I call it Yasanovich. It's Yasanovich is the very one he's talking about. I have detailed information from Ilya Ivanovich about what really happened. I got the details of Yakunovich. Continuing.
In 1989, Dr. Franco Tujman writes in his book, Wastelands, Historical Truth, quote, a Jew remains a Jew in the Yasanovich camp as well. They retained their defects, which became more visible now. Selfishness, craftiness, unreliability, miserliness, underhandedness, and secrecy are their main characteristics. Some of the Jewish camp officials were armed and even took part in the killing. Moreover, the Jews held in their hands selection jobs, that is, the selection of inmates for liquidation and partly also for their execution. End quote. On May 30, 1990, the Croatian Democratic Union was elected to power in the Republic of Croatia in the country of Yugoslavia. The same Dr. Franco Tudjman became president. On December 20, 1990, Croatia proclaimed its independence from Yugoslavia. The bloody Ustasha, the fascist state of Croatia, was suddenly reborn. With a stroke of a pen, their new constitution, all Serbs living inside Croatia suddenly lost their status as citizens. The cleansing of the Serbs started immediately as masses of weapons were pouring in from Italy, Germany, Hungary, Austria, and the Serbs were being thrown out of society. The slaughter and the desecration inside the new democratic Croatia soon began. In a masterstroke of propaganda, Croatia has used the Western media to convince the world that they, the Croats, and their Muslim allies, are the helpless victims against the onslaught of the bloody Serb. Michael Lees was a British officer dropped into Yugoslavia in the Second World War. Not long before he passed away, he returned to Yugoslavia and saw firsthand the truth about the new Croatia. He was a lone voice crying in the wilderness.
This is just one of many houses which have been destroyed in what seems to have been a deliberate Croatian policy to harass and oppress Serbs in the areas where there are mixed populations and drive them out, presumably in order to grab their lands, which was the policy in 1941. Are we going to see a repetition of this? Neighboring this destroyed property are rich vineyards, which the old lady tells me belong to Ustashi. She means the Croats. And they lived here as neighbors until this new drive for Croatian independence and the grabbing of lands started. It is a tragedy if this is going to happen, and I believe that it is the duty of the Western world to ensure that it does not happen and to enable these people who have been here for 700 or maybe 1,000 years to live quietly on their lands, not oppressing anybody, as they always did and as they always want to do. The Croatians, unfortunately, have once again shown that they are unfit to rule other peoples. No one contests their right to live in their own state under their own rules, by themselves. Let the Croatians have their independent state. Let them go out of Yugoslavia and take these nasty habits and hate with them. Leave the Serbian communities to live in peace, in whatever new form Yugoslavia may take.
And yet another brilliant piece of propaganda. In 1991, the Croats in Vukovar slaughtered hundreds of Serbs. while the Western media told the world that the Yugoslav People's Army was fighting a war of aggression against the Croats, who only wanted peace. When the Yugoslav People's Army finally took the city of Vukovar, the truth of the Croatian brutality became evident. But the Western media was not listening. The public was not told the truth.
The guards, they killed our Serbs. They massacred them when they saw that they were losing the war. You see the way they took their revenge. They're so furious, they don't know what to do. They fire at anything they see moving. They spared no one. You could see them. They dug out people's eyes, cut off their ears, the most atrocious things. As you can see, this man was massacred with a bayonet. This happened perhaps 3 days ago. The man turned over on his stomach is Ilya Vukovic. That used to be his house, that one that is in ruins. And this other man, also on his stomach, he is the owner of this other house. He's also a Serb. This woman that you see on top of the old woman is Ilya Vukovic's wife. This is an Italian journalist who simply could not believe all this until she saw it for herself.
Where is Amnesty International? Where is Vatican? Nobody is here.
By June 1991, the new Ustasha was trying to control Vukovar. The Croats put a concentration camp at nearby Borovo. Some 5,000 Serbs were rounded up and the slaughter began. Marko Filković was commanding the Croatian National Guard units. By November 23, 1991, the Yugoslav People's Army had fought its way into the center of Vukovar, and they freed those civilians who for many months had sought refuge in the basements and dark holes in the ground.
Showing soldiers right now celebrating their win, or whatever you want to call it, shooting in the air in their equipment, celebratory fire. Because it took back their
don't
land.
Don't worry now. Don't be afraid. Tell me, how long have you been in hiding? We are from Borovo Naselje. We spent 3 months in hiding.
Shows the returning Serbs after the Serbs went out.
Don't worry, you're okay now. You're free.
While this is going on, a lead to justify entrance into Bosnia Herzegovina, Croatia, they lied and said 100,000 Muslims were being slaughtered, missing, in Srebrenica. said 8,000 were slaughtered like Hitler. Well, the 100,000 was missing in mass graves set up by Clinton and all those others announced that justified us to go in. Well, the State Department changed it to 10,000. Not 100,000 any longer. It was 10,000. Oops. And then when the UN finally got in there and did a count, it was like 1,200 and some. What happened to the 100,000? It wasn't one. They lied to justify us to go in. Look it up right now if you want. The Secretary of Defense back then lied with Clinton, lied. The generals lied. About 100,000 missing Albanians and Muslims. Changed to 10,000. This is official. You see an article about 100,000 missing. Then you'll see an article sometime later, only 10,000. Then when you, Del Ponte, when they went in to do this check, it was like 1,208 bodies of questionable death from the errant bombing of NATO led by General Wesley Clark, another false general that worked for the Illuminati. Here we go. Showing people returning.
Yes, America.
People getting together and so forth is all this is so far.
I didn't know whether he was alive for 3 months. I spent 3 months in the cellar. We kept hearing reports about massacres of army men. Are you a soldier? Yes, I'm a soldier. Here in Vukovar, yes.
Still returning, Milosevic was trained at the State Department. Milosevic was a Freemason. So Dan Milosevic was brought in as part of it.
Evidence of the massive brutality of the Ustasha, the Ustasha of the new democratic Croatia, was there for all the world to see. But still the Serb is blamed by the Western media for this war. George Orwell would have understood.
Slobodan Milosevic was trained in the State Department by the very people that he is supposed to be fighting against. Here we go.
The Serb has been fighting to defend their homeland for hundreds of years. But now I'm beginning to feel that they have finally met their match. There is no way that they can stand against Western and against American media, who have become the most effective weapon of their enemies. This is the propaganda war.
All what's happened with Serbs, they took documents from that. A lot of pictures, Muslim and Croat side. They took a picture of our victims and they presented that. And we were completely shocked.
Former Belgian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Mark Aeskens, said, quote, "I have discovered a very important law which prevails in all our society. A lie, if it is skillfully formulated, immediately becomes a truth." Unquote. World public opinion, but more importantly, American public opinion, is being prepared so that European, Mideast, and American politicians will seem morally justified when they request and send American soldiers into the Balkans to fight and die against our former ally, the Serb. The world press was reporting that the Serb army was surrounding the Bosnian town of Gorazde and wiping out the Muslim and the Croat defenders. Of course, at that time, the media was getting its information from the Muslims and the Croats. I, together with my Welsh cameraman, was the first Western journalist to make it inside the Serb-held section of Gorazde. Two British reporters, one from BBC Radio and the other from the London Daily Telegraph, refused to join us. They knew the truth. It was a handful of Serb civilian militia who were surrounded and trying to hold out. We would have to get into Gorazde under fire in order to reach the Serb. The British reporters chose not to go into Gorazde. They drove back to Belgrade, and they filed their reports about a battle situation upon which they never laid their eyes.
This is the town of Gorazde. 2 days after the signing of the ceasefire in London, the brigade from the Dubrovnik, 163rd.
Okay, from here on, I'm going to, I'm stopped here on it. We got 5-10 minutes to go with the show today. And I can play the rest of it tomorrow. This is simply him in the garage name for the next, whatever, how long here, about 20 minutes. And you'll hear firing and popping and going on, where he's taking cover and so forth. But I wanted to get out the part that I got out to let you know what really happened. So, it's not America. America, we've been a pit bull dog in the military, fighting for, we've never fought for democracy in our history. We've been lied to at the highest level. Our soldiers, military, people, have all been brave and doing what we thought was right. And you had politicians along that thought doing what was right. But because of secret society oaths, proceedings, control of the government, CFR, etc., the truth was kept back. And anybody that said, well, I'm going to speak out, they were assassinated, killed, hunting accident, car wreck, like Patton was, or plane crash, heart attack. This is reality. It's not a movie. It's real. The Vatican is controlled by the Illuminati, inside Italian, the outside of the 13 families that you can find, and the inside is another 13 families, there are 26, always inner and outer, controls the Vatican. The Vatican controls the intelligence agencies and the militaries and so forth. It's always been this way. To kill Christians, Jews, anybody not following along. Heading toward a new world order. You heard what happened with the Balkans. Well, now I'm going to tie something up with you here. We brought the Nazis over, the real Nazis, in 1948, thereabouts, Operation Paperclip. We brought 10,000 Nazis, scientists, military, propagandists, psychologists, doctors. We just simply transferred Nazism here. Then the next enemy, fictitious enemy, was going to be communism. After communism, you got it now? Islam. After Islam, meteorites. After that, aliens from outer space. Kissinger. This was planned in 1917 and before. John Dewey, humanist. They were planning the extraterrestrial hoax. All this is documented. Every bit of it. There's a bigger picture going on than people can even imagine happening right around them. Well, as they balkanized the Balkans, dividing it up, using Muslims, if you will, radical Muslims, that we trained, confirmed by Hillary and Brzezinski and all these others, we set it up, continued it, then moved them to the Balkans to go after the Serb Orthodox Christians, Gypsies and Jews all had to die, according to the Ustasha, Roman Catholic army, military, insiders, mercenaries. Divided the Balkans up, that used to be held together by Tito, who was a son of Churchill and is a Freemason, to balkanize is to split up, divide, to make it easier to eat. Do you eat your steak with your hands and try to push it all in your mouth? No, you cut up in little pieces, right? Well, Nixon did that to the United States in Executive Order 11647. He balkanized the United States when they were planning to take us down. Nixon did. Uh-huh. Executive Order 11647. Executive Order 11731. And to take over government operations 11495. 10 regions, 5 states each, February the 12th, 1972, was Executive Order 11647. A U.N. regional administrator over one region, that'd be 10 U.N. regional administrators in the United States and 10 governors, goes back to Nixon. FDR planned a dictatorship, I got by his own quote, March the 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, and a Senator Lundeen passed the information on to what was said in that meeting to William G. Carr, Red Fog Over America. You can read it on my website. My timeline on watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com, and you look for my timeline, and then you go to March 4th, 1939. Family, it's all connected, every bit of it, everything. We've been balkanized through FEMA regions now. I pledged you that about an hour and a half ago. Reagan, Giafrida, FEMA, yeah, you got it. Every generational president, every one of them, have planned for the New World Order. Every single one. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about globalism, how they're really setting it up. I'm going to continue on with this. And now you can understand when I told you all how the CIA asked the ISI, in 1993, to divert part of their mercenaries, the dregs, or the HUM, H-U-M, which are the Harkat ul-Humat Mujahideen, H-A-R-K-A-T-U-L Mujahideen, and the Harkat al-Jihad Islami, Huji, and the L-E-T, the actually H-A-R-K-A-T-U-L Jihad A-L Islami, Huji. And what happened was the CIA asked ISI to divert part of the fighters there, the HUM and Huji, to Bosnia to then assist the Muslims there to fight against the Serbs. And the transfer of Bosnia was funded by the Saudi intelligence. The arms and ammunition were given to them by the Iranian intelligence. Leadership and motivation was provided by serving and retired officers in ISI and Turkish intelligence, all working together. And Omar Sheikh, according to Benir Bhutto, Omar Sheikh, the man who killed bin Laden after 2001, you heard me, he masterminded the kidnapping of Daniel Pearl, Wall Street Journal. He is CIA. He has jihad experience in Bosnia, like bin Laden had in Afghanistan. From Bosnia, they were diverted to Kosovo by CIA, and thereafter, again, left in the lurch after they had done our job, a USA asset job, in the Balkans. It's all connected. Well, we're at the end of the program, and we'll do another part tomorrow, 4 o'clock tonight. Bible study, 7:30 to 9, hit the ground running. And I appreciate y'all's attention. And we'll do this again tomorrow, and I'll do it all the rest of the week if I have to. I'll get everything covered. Bring in as much as possible that I can. So they try to show you the Jews are doing it. They try to show you the Muslims are doing it. They try to show you the bankers are doing it. Will somebody make up your mind? Is it the darn bankers, the Muslims, or it's the Jews? Family, when are y'all going to say, wait a minute? They're all lying. Christian identities, bunch of liars. CIA, bunch of liars. Who's doing it? Well, the papacy, Eustachia, the Vatican, controlled by the Illuminati, Council Committee of the 300, family, they're controlled. They're slaves. Your Queen Elizabeth, all these guys, Illuminati, of the fallen angels. It's supernatural control of what's going on. Using everybody's pawns. Jesus Christ is the only answer. It's going to take the tribulations, famine, pestilence to get people's attention. Now you understand? God will get your attention. He wishes that none should perish but come to everlasting life. He'll do what it takes to get your attention. So you look to Jesus and not everything outside of it. Not religion, not country, not any of that stuff on earth. It's all about Jesus Christ. We'll talk tomorrow about continuation of today. So we'll conclude here. And I'll regroup. It was a lot of stuff I threw at you today. I'm going to throw a lot more at you tomorrow. I don't believe in backing down. I lose my computers. I just go buy some more. I'll put the codes back in and get back up as soon as I can, if that was to ever happen. I ain't going to stop till I can't breathe anymore. I ain't quitting. So God bless. Good night. And we'll see y'all Bible study tonight at 7:30 or tomorrow at 4 o'clock on the broadcast. Y'all have a good night. This is The Watchman signing off. On knees and I just come to him and